So it's a tricky situation to innovate, right? Because when you're doing it, people don't understand it. That's the hardest one when you're trying to put a vision in place that you know they will benefit from, but it's so early that everybody thinks that you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
If you're evolving, right? If you're developing, you're figuring things out as you go along, it kind of speaks to you, like your education, your knowledge, your experience. You're like, no, I'm on the right track, but I'm alone in this.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what it felt like. Innovation is a very tricky thing, but if you believe in yourself enough, I know it sounds cliche, but that's what it is. You have to believe in yourself to the point where this is going to happen no matter what, and this is going to be hard.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade.
Every day I'm hustling.
What's going on, guys? Today in the Online Hustlers Podcast, we got a special guest. I usually don't invite people that are outside of real estate or outside of whatever real estate is.
I'll get to it eventually. I'll invest eventually.
Yeah. He'll get to there. But this guy is in comedy. And I actually met him in Miami because he runs, to me, one of the best Miami comedy clubs that runs every single day. This guy's a hustler. Like, we're talking here about hustling. This guy, every single day, he brings in guests, people that go to his selected venues that he has put together. And he has a great Instagram page. A few of the comedians that have been to his venues actually have exploded recently. And he gave him basically the stage. So, man, this guy's a very interesting man, funny guy. Follow him on social media, Manny Garavito. How do you say it?
And you got it.
Hey, there you go. Manny Garavito. Dude, I can't.
As a fellow Colombian, you say it funny because it's a Colombian last name.
Manny Garavito. There you go.
Say it in Colombian.
Manny Garavito.
Así mismo.
Así mismo. That's right. So, and he also has Miami Comic Club as the Instagram. You guys would love it. If you ever come to Miami, you have to actually be in one of his days. It's every single day except Thursdays and Saturdays. Is that right?
Currently, we're working with a Thursday and a Saturday.
All right. So he's a hustler. He's an entrepreneur. He's a true entrepreneur hustler. We're going to talk more about that, man. I also want to, I like to be loose so that you can make people laugh here a little bit. But
well, that was a great start. You know, the whole last name thing. Shout out to Esteban for getting me on his podcast. I've actually listened to an episode or two of yours before. I've come across it, you know, whenever I wake up in the morning and I'm trying to get inspired, and I go on Spotify, I look up business podcasts. I've seen your logo before, I remember. And then when I saw you at the Networker, it didn't click until you showed me the cover of your podcast at the Networker we did. And I was like, oh, you're that guy. No wonder you're so confident in what, because see, most of the times when people go to a networker, they're working on it. Maybe they're doing network marketing, or maybe they're trying to sell some real estate or whatever. This guy comes in, he's like, what do you do? He's like, I'm an entrepreneur. And that's when you know it's either they're not really an entrepreneur or they're really an entrepreneur, because they have so many hats on that's probably the best title you can give yourself.
Yeah. And I remember because, you know, as an entrepreneur, if you go to networking events, you have to have your first 10-second line ready. Like, what do you do exactly? You got to tell them exactly what you do in the first 10 seconds so that it's easily understandable. Be like, oh, shit, you do that? Let me connect you with this guy. So I remember I told you, yeah, man, I help investors find homes and I do marketing for them so that they can make a lot of money.
You know, it's so funny how an introduction can be so simple. Yet so hard to tell someone.
Holy crap. And dude, this going back to comedy, I've seen some of your comedians. Some of them are really freaking great. Some of the guests that go there, and some of them they're not as great. Like they're pretty bad.
We still give them a shot.
You still give them a
shot. We gotta get them up there. That's how you get good.
Yeah, but how do you? Okay, so you as a comedian, first of all, I like to know, like, once you get into this comedy thing and stuff like that, because hey, man, starting out and just getting into that rhythm, I think it's nerve freaking racking, dude.
Well, I mean, being an entrepreneur is a lot harder, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So the secret about doing stand-up comedy is you got to go up and humiliate yourself a few times, and then you become numb to it. So when you go up again, it doesn't matter if you do good or bad. That's why those people that you saw that you believe they didn't do that well, that's why they did it anyway, because they got to go through that motion of, well, I really don't care what people think, so this is what I'm thinking. And then, they figure it out on their own. They figure it out on their own when they realize that, oh, well, maybe I should write better jokes. I mean, they're not, it doesn't bother me that I'm bombing, but it does bother me that I'm not getting the laughs that I'm intending to get doing stand-up comedy. And that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like jumping in a cold pool and getting used to the temperature of it while everyone around you is like, how are you in the pool right now? Am I doing it right?
There you go.
Okay, thank you.
Just putting it on. You gotta check. You got to always do the checks.
How's the audio? Is it good?
It's good. It's good. Okay. No, man. But dude, so you started as a comedian. Was it like just you were funny at school and
no.
you just decided to do that or mm-hmm. what, man?
So that's, as a business, I also do comedy coaching because it took me 3 years to be funny consistently. I'll never forget the first time I went up on stage and the entire 5 minutes was back-to-back laughs. And that took a while. Some people are natural. They go up on stage and, they tell a funny story, or they're really good at writing or good at delivery, or some people are just charismatic where everyone is like, whatever it is you're about to say is about to be hilarious because I like this guy automatically. I still had to get my footing in the beginning. I was a corporate guy before I got into comedy. I was in banking, selling line of credits and business loans. And then I did an open mic and I bombed and I humiliated myself and I did it over and over until I kind of got the hang of it. And then when I did get the hang of it, I realized that Miami didn't really have a good comedy scene. So I was taking courses in marketing at FIU, and I bought miamicomedy.com and I put my marketing hat on and I just started developing the comedy scene little by little. So that I started comedy in 2009, started miamicomedy.com in 2014, really had to double down on personal education in the field of entrepreneurship and marketing and value creation. And then, there was a couple of obstacles along the way, trying to understand the local market, niching yourself, being creative at the same time, which sometimes when you're, doing business things, sometimes creativity, you're not as relaxed, you're kind of on edge, and that's what you need to make better decisions. Well, not really. I mean, in order for you to be a good businessman, you always have to make sure that you're on the edge of your business. You're seeing what needs to be done, what innovations, you need to be productive. But in order for you to problem solve and be creative or to be funny, you got to live life. You got to sit back, relax, enjoy whatever's happening to you and just finding the funny in it. So I had to balance those two worlds. And then eventually the biggest obstacle became COVID and then everything closed down. Let me see. 2014, I started Miami Comedy. 2018 was when I got my first profit. So I had 2 years of being a profitable business. And 2020 came around, the business stopped. There were no live events. But then it was a kind of like very fortunate because once the curfew was in place and we were slowly opening the doors, people were looking for the middle ground of either not staying home, but you can't party. So live comedy shows were the sweet spot where you can still go out, enjoy social distancing and have a drink during that time. And so that's when Miami comedy kind of like really boomed. Like it got to the next level.
And also Miami just didn't give a fuck.
Miami kind of goes through its motions psychologically as a collective consciousness. I realized that Miami at first wasn't really into arts or performing arts. I mean, you have Art Basel, but I find that it's more of an excuse for people to party. And so we're changing and realizing that Miami is a lot more than what was branded, and it's always evolving. And now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but not only did comedy start getting more popular, but so did live performances such as bands.
Yeah.
A lot of venues are now realizing that this is a good niche to get into, that performing arts was kind of a thing before, but not anymore. So there's an opportunity there.
Yeah. When you were in COVID, did you try to go online? Like just literally go all in into the online part because you did not have any comedy show doing it in person?
The best thing I could do during the pandemic, man, was just go live and just talk shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was frustrating. But I went live every day, looked into the camera, and it was like, hey, guys, are you bored? Me too. So anyways, I ate this today. I went to go run, and I was just talking about my life. And then I realized that when you go live, people say you have a comedy voice when you go on stage.
Yeah.
You have a live voice too.
So it's different.
Yeah, it's a different thing because it's weird to try to be funny when you don't hear the laughs. Like you see the numbers, like this many people are watching you live.
You're basically laughing at your own jokes.
Yeah, I do that all the time. Sometimes I tickle myself on what comes out, like when I'm just trying to like riff and trying to find something funny, and then I do this outburst and I'm like, where did that come from? But what I realized during the pandemic, which was a blessing, was how to be a more effective comedy writer, at least in my own way.
Okay.
Where I don't no longer have to sit down with a notepad and like, all right, and today I did this. I just go live and I see like, you know, two people and I'm like, hey guys, what's up? Manny Garavito here. I did this today. And then like, it's a little weird at first because, you know, you go with like two and then it's like one and then they're gone. And then you're just like, I'm not talking to anybody. Yeah. So I went walking around my neighborhood today. So, but as soon as you start getting used to the awkward, no one's watching or no one's laughing feel, and you just get comfortable with being live and being with your thoughts and just opening your mouth and talking, something clicks, like something happens where you're just having a conversation with yourself and it becomes this awesome creative monologue.
Yeah.
And it's helped me write memes and sketches and come up with other podcast episodes or questions that I can ask the local community. And then they engage because you asked the right question and they're interested in it. So live streaming during the pandemic for those days and nights, because I did it daily, like I mentioned before, and that's the secrets, you know, that you got to be consistent in order to kind of figure it out. I have over 600 live streams recorded somewhere on the internet.
Holy crap. So what did you use like a StreamYard or Riverside to go like YouTube?
Instagram, I use Zoom at first. Like I dabbled in StreamYard.
Okay.
And then I got into OBS, which is what we were talking about. Very cool system. There's a lot of tools out there for you to get your creative stuff
right
to the masses. It's really cool.
But wait, let's go. You were in such a interesting job, the banking job. No, I'm kidding, bro. Like, how do you go into banking and comedy? Like, were you just killing yourself inside?
Well,
like,
you know, we have Latino families. You know what it is. They come here. They're like, hey, you got to get a good job. That's the American dream. You got to climb the corporate ladder.
And banking is a good job.
So you could one day retire. Yeah, man. You know, they love that stuff. If you wear a suit and you got a salary, your parents love that. It's when you give up.
Like a real estate agent.
It's when you give up. When I gave up my corporate life, my parents were so upset.
Okay.
But I stuck in there. I worked hard. And then eventually they kind of gave in. They were like, how did you do that? That's amazing. So like, you don't have to like punch in anymore. You don't have to wake up early. And that's a great feeling because I'm the first entrepreneur in the family.
Nice.
And so the friction that it took to be there, to cool. get there, it was hard to see your parents telling you, you know, like, oh, you're not going to amount to anything.
You have Latino parents?
Yeah, of course. We're okay. Colombian. Yeah, yeah. We got through this. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm just getting to know that you're also Colombian. I thought you were something. But, dude, it makes sense. There's so many Colombians here. Like, you come here to Miami and it's literally an attachment to South America. It's not a U.S. My opinion. I don't know if you think the same thing, but when it came here, it's still weird for me that people like respond to me every single time in Spanish, even if I go to them in English. They'd be like, hey, can you help me with this? Sí, claro. Okay. I'm like, all right. So no one here literally, no one wants to speak English.
In Miami. Like, it's a little offensive. You know?
Like no one wants.
It's like, don't you know this is a Latino city? Like we're all here. Yeah. Like one time I was at my barber shop, and some guy was getting cut, And I go up to him and I go, yo, man, this guy's the best. And this guy looked at me like, how dare you talk to me in English? And my barber goes, "En no inglés." And I go, oh, you forget sometimes, you know? And it's, I guess people get offended because they think that you assume that they were English speaking. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded. You're the one getting offended, right?
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing, but you know, whatever. Whatever floats your boat in languages.
So did your Latino parents, what kind of friction they gave you when you went into full-in entrepreneur?
You know, I wasn't as upset as other people get when they realize, because I've also met some people that, like, they're very traumatized when their parents, when your parents, Latino parents, tell you, like, yeah, you're not going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
You're a loser. Like, they were traumatized. For me, I was sure. I was like, all right, you'll see. So it kind of like slid off for me. Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 years of your parents thinking you're.
What was the first things you did? Like, as a comedian and someone that wanted to create a community for comedians here in Miami, what were your first steps?
So it's a tricky situation to innovate, right? Because when you're doing it, people don't understand it. That's the hardest one, when you're trying to put a vision in place that you know they will benefit from, but it's so early that everybody thinks that you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
That's exactly the right way to word it. You're trying to put something that's innovative and valuable and everybody thinks you're doing it wrong. So that's another one. A lot of doubt. But if you're evolving, right? If you're developing, if you're figuring things out as you go along, it kind of speaks to you, like your education, your knowledge, your experience. You're like, no, I'm on the right track, but I'm alone in this.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what it felt like. Innovation is a very tricky thing, but if you believe in yourself enough, I know it sounds cliche, but that's what it is. You have to believe in yourself to the point where this is going to happen no matter what, and this is going to be hard.
So that's obviously, faith. Dude, man, you bought MiamiComedy.com. That's a huge domain, in my opinion.
Somebody was squatting it for $1,700.
No way. Oh, so you bought it for $1,700.
Yeah.
Awesome. So your first investment.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I saved up $5,000 from my corporate job at a nest egg. And that's the most I ever saved in my life, really.
And you bought MiamiComedy.com.
And I was like, I'm going to put 1.7 of that into MiamiComedy.com.
Okay. And so obviously you started with the vision. Was the vision always the same? Like, just getting comedians in one place, getting them to entertain your audience, or what was it?
The vision gets polished.
Okay.
You have the main vision, bring comedy to Miami in this case. And then it's, I want to be doing a show with Dave Chappelle one day. And then as the years go by, that's not going to happen. Right. And then, well, I can do my own show. Then that happens. I can do my own show with my friends. Then that happens. Will Dave Chappelle be my friend? Not happening yet. So let's keep going. You go to the next thing. And then this thing just starts molding itself into a very, very clear vision, up until the point where it's no longer a vision, but you now have the controls for it. Like, this is how I'm going to do it. This is how I'm going to bring comedy to Miami, you know, 7 nights a week of comedy shows. Comedians are getting good. Other comedians start noticing Miami's getting good. They come to Miami to perform, and all these things start forming. And it wasn't really the main vision, but it was kind of like the byproduct of the vision, because it's the more realistic one, or the one you were destined to have, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see your vision evolve, but as it's evolving, it's happening, right? It's almost like you missed the mark, but you're still shooting for it.
Yeah.
That's a great feeling.
So obviously, like whenever like entrepreneurs start something and they have this going, like this vision, they just want to do it, man. Like, but you don't know how the hell you do it. Like, you don't know how the hell you're going to get there at the first, unless you have some sort of knowledge, have a mentor, you learn from someone. So you usually start modeling others, or just either model someone or like get inspired by someone else, unless you're super innovative, right? And you created something, fuck, the next Tesla for comedy. So what you looked at other comedians, other comedy clubs, what you looked at the beginning to kind of see, like, I'm going to do that, but better? Or was it more like creative thinking? That, how was that?
Well, this one, there's so many things. I mean, I wouldn't say there was a way this was done before. This was definitely an innovation in Miami because I had to go. I mean, the shows when I first started, I remember the first show I did was Tobacco. You remember Tobacco Road, the first one?
Yeah.
So there was an attic that they had and it was a cool speakeasy. That was my first show. And the promoter told me to do a show there.
Yeah.
We did that for like 3 weeks or a month or something like that. Like every Tuesday or something like that. It was like 3 or 4 shows. And then the manager comes upstairs like, what are you guys doing here? Like, oh, the promoter said we could do comedy shows here. Not a lot of people ever showed up. It was only like, you know, 6 people, 4 people.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, well, no one ever told me there was a comedy show here. Get out of here. And it was like in the middle of the show. It was like,
oh shit,
Fight Club. And the scene is like, what are you guys doing here? Oh, we're doing a Fight Club. It's like, well, this place is called Big Lou's. I'm fucking Lou. Get the fuck out of here.
Holy shit.
It was kind of like that. So I did a lot of like really, really bad shows and my marketing was off and I would send emails that would annoy people rather than like motivate them to come out. It was just so much going on until eventually you fix your newsletters or you fix your social media writing and then you fix your website and then you fix your copywriting, your video editing, then you get a team and then you, and then all these components from years of just fucking up, they then start clicking together. So it's almost like you got like these plates spinning. And then you're really good at keeping them spinning. And then you've got like a whole floor pan of just plates spinning and they're working so well together. And then eventually you just step back and you're like, I don't have to spin them anymore. They just keep spinning.
Yeah.
And then you can focus on other bigger things, just like the networking where we met.
Yeah.